Hey there, I'm Rachel Aaron, and you're listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. Get inspired as we discuss creative resources, trends in piano pedagogy, ways to grow your income and streamline your studio, and new ways to engage your students each week. If you are a teacher who wants to go beyond the method books to create an innovative studio that fosters lifelong music makers, you've come to the right place. Hello, teacher friends. Thank you so much for joining me today for the podcast. This is going to be a really interesting episode. I don't want to give it all away, but it might challenge the way you think about one-on-one private lessons and the traditional format that we have all used for decades. My guest for this episode is Will Armstrong. Will is an accomplished professional musician and music educator with over 22 years of experience, including 11 years as the founder and director of Will You Learn LLC, a successful music education business based in New York City, offering personalized lessons across multiple instruments, emphasizing an ear-first approach to music education. With proven expertise in scaling music education services, Will has a strong background in piano pedagogy, curriculum development, teacher recruitment, and strategic planning. As a highly skilled pianist and composer with a Master of Music in Jazz Piano from NYU, he has recorded with Grammy Award-winning Irish musician Joni Madden and performed with jazz legends. Will has also toured nationally with bands like O Whitney and led his own group, Wild Tonic. Will is the founder and managing partner of MeTempo LLC, a platform connecting music instructors and students in a continuous feedback loop, allowing for flexibility, accountability, and personal connection. Here's my interview with Will. Hi, Will. Welcome to the show. Can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. My name is Will Armstrong. Thank you so much for having me. I'm a jazz pianist living in Brooklyn, New York. I've been a longtime music educator and piano teacher going on, I guess, 20 years now, being that I started teaching little kids in the neighborhoods when I grew up through high school, etc. And I am the owner and operator of Will You Learn in New York City. It's a lessons company. It's been around for 11 years. And I'm the co-founder and managing partner of the edtech platform MeTempo.
Great. So we're going to talk a little about what that is all about. But first, tell us a little bit about Will You Learn. Is that in person or on online only lessons?
It's both. Predominantly in person around New York City with a pretty strong online component. So we have some teachers scattered, teachers who have all come through New York who have gone their various ways for various reasons, but people love them so much that they stick with their students online. I have a wonderful teacher living in Ecuador. We have a wonderful drum instructor who's living in Portland, Oregon. We have, you know, violinist in Ireland and people all over the place. But largely in person, strong online thing. The thing with Will You Learn that I think is a little bit interesting and separates us a little bit from the, you know, the huge amount of competitors is that we sort of have this sort of ear-first approach to music education. And we say that we like to teach music the way you learn your first language.
Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, it's a very New York thing. I think we're not exclusively, but I mean, as a jazz musician, my network is predominantly within the jazz world. So a lot of these instructors come through the jazz world. And it's just something about being in New York. Everyone kind of tells the same story about making the big move to New York and just getting kind of humbled very quickly by the level of skill that's here. And there's a phenomenal educator and phenomenal pianist, Fred Hirsch, who talks about moving to New York is where he really started to learn the language. And in jazz specifically, there's a lot of talk around language, the language of it. And, you know, I didn't fully understood that. It's a language. Yeah, it's sort of, you know, it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. And then moving here, really understanding it, not as a metaphor for a language, but especially jazz, it really is a language where you're really communicating with people. And the majority of the work is kind of done internally and learning to develop the ear and learning to hear and communicate with other musicians and listen. And really our saying is make music your own. And that's, I think that's what happens when you move to New York by one, out of necessity, because it's so competitive here and the level is just so unbelievable. that if you're not necessarily, I mean, there's always going to be someone better at you at whatever you do. Like there's always, you know, you, I mean, even the best of the best is people who are like, you know, oh, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. And it's just, you'll go crazy trying to do that. So it really forces you to, you know, you're not, maybe not the best player in town, but you have to be unique and you have to have your own voice. Otherwise it's just, it's not going to happen. You're not going
to
play.
So how does that translate to kids who are just starting out? How do you prepare them from the very beginning for that world?
Well, it's very natural. It's sort of the things that we all learned that we wish we had learned from day one. These things work great with kids because it's like kids aren't messed up with all the pressures and the like this, that, and the other. It's a very innocent kind of time to learn. And certain things about like internalizing rhythm, which is the number one thing that like, I mean, that we, grad school for me was about internalizing rhythm. And you think like, okay, we're getting a master's in music and we're just sitting there tapping a beat. And that's it. It's like, gosh, that's the simplest thing. A kid can do this, but we get all messed up later with all this other, you know, this thinking about things. And so like, for instance, teaching children to internalize a beat in a really natural way. And I mean, this is an exercise I picked up from my mentor, Jean-Michel Pilk, who would just sit and tap and we would just have a conversation. And the amount that threw people off is unbelievable. Just, can you tap a solid beat? There's no pulse. So there's no, you know, groups of beat, there's no measures. It's just tap a pulse and have a conversation. You're actually not thinking about it. You're truly internalizing that. So even doing something as simple as that with like a child kind of helps them just get that, you know, the rhythm internalized, and getting them listening and really getting them listening and getting them singing and getting them to understand the relationship between like their very natural speaking voice and the instrument. So, you know, it comes more naturally when you're a vocal person, you have to actually do that. Or even with violin, it's a little bit more, it happens more naturally. But like with a piano student, getting them to match how they speak with what they play. So if it's as simple as, let's play Hot Cross Buns from day one, a three-year-old. I had a lesson with a three-year-old the other first lesson. Of course, we always start with Hot Cross Buns and move on as quickly as possible. But just getting them to match with one finger, which is, I think, technically kind of a nice way to start, so they don't get all this weird stuff. They learn to use their arm, etc. But can you say Hot Cross Buns and get your finger to play what you're saying? And 9 times out of 10, they get to one a penny, and it doesn't happen. They play like one note, and then it takes a few seconds to be like one a penny. Oh, one a penny. And then they just develop this connection between their voice, which is very natural to them, and the instrument. And then it just feels like something that's part of you, rather than it being something that's sort of, I use the example of having seen, you know, thousands of recitals and seeing the poor kid with their little method book on the piano in front of them, and they're just terrified. You know, sometimes it works very well, but others, I just seen so many times where it's just terrified. And it's like just this metaphor of like, oh, the music is always just, it's always in front of me. It's something always out of reach. It's always there. It's like a carrot on a stick. As opposed to what we want to do is make the kids realize that, you know, music comes from you. It's not from the instrument. You're the musician. We have a little poem that we say to them and this kind of thing. It's just developing their relationship with music, to making them understand that it's from them. And that took us a long time to learn. It took us coming to New York and getting whooped at jam sessions to realize, oh, okay, no, this is...
Well, I love that you've incorporated that into your teaching and your pedagogy. I think that's wonderful. We're going to transition a little and talk about your other passion. You have created something that I think has the potential to completely redesign the traditional model of music lessons. Can you describe MeTempo for our listeners?
Yeah, just in short, it's a platform that it's really just for video and text lessons, right? But we've optimized it to in a way that can really help instructors have one-on-one relationships with students on a much larger scale. And that's really the goal of the platform. So it's long story short about the platform is it's a constant counsel sort of approach. So it's the idea that like you have a teacher always accessible. There's a constant feedback loop going on. You know, we do use it with some, like with Will You Learn, we use it as a side thing. We say, Will You Learn is your weekly lesson. MeTempo is your daily coach. So it's always keeping you engaged. It's always keeping things fresh, but it's also really helping break down material and practice things in a really successful bite-sized way and a focused way to kind of maximize efficiency for busy people who don't feel they don't have time to practice. So we say 7 minutes of practice, and the exercises that we give, really, you can get a lot out of them in 7 minutes. But at the core, it's just a text and video thread back and forth.
Okay, so we're going to dive into this a little because I have a lot of questions. First of all, where did the name MeTempo come from?
That came from a long car ride where we were searching for domains that were available.
Yeah.
And playing with different options. I really wanted a .com. I didn't want to go with a .dot anything else. And playing around with, okay, combinations of, you know, something musical but not cheesy, not too cheesy. And we got, you know, the idea of metaverse and meta, and also tempo being like the idea that this is, we're playing with time with this app. Like we're kind of getting rid of the constraints of time because there's not a scheduled lesson. It's an ongoing thing. So that was a good fit. We're like, oh, that could be nice. And then the big search, is it available? It's available. Let's get it.
Yeah. Done.
So, yeah.
So talk to me about the problem that you saw in the music learning space that led you to create this solution, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest problem, it seems to me that there really are still only two avenues that learners and instructors have available. And you're pretty much limited to a live situation or a pre-recorded situation. And there isn't really anything in between, so to speak. And that's really where we go. It's like there has to be something in between. And I thought back to, you know, like the concept of correspondence courses, which were a big thing a long time ago. And there's a really well-known jazz educator named Charlie Benakis, passed away a few years ago, but had this whole system, very sought-after teacher, like mecca, mega, mega deal. He was the guy to go to, North Shore of Boston. And I mean, I remember from my first jazz lessons, people, my instructor as a kid being like, you ever go to Boston, you got to get with Charlie Benakis. He's the guy, you know, taught a lot of very influential musicians, but he taught by cassette tape. And he would put these phenomenal exercises together for you, give them, send them to you, and then you'd record yourself and send them back. He passed away, and his whole sort of method and estate was passed on to another instructor who's a guy at Manhattan School of Music, Gary Dial, who's taking this on now. And a good friend of mine, who's a music teacher at a school here in New York, is doing these correspondence lessons with Gary and loves them. And I was chatting with him about this, you know, a few years ago. I was like, so what it's like, you know, first of all, give me the information because these exercises are supposed to be great. But it was such a massive amount of work that he had to do. Be like, all right, here's a Herbie Hancock solo. Now learn it in 12 keys and get back to me. So it's like, okay, 4 years later, I've almost finished sort of thing. And I was like, I mean, that's great. But also that's not like going to work for a business. So if we can figure out how to just, you know, you need to have things happening all the time and people be engaged with it. So that was the next step of like, okay, there's this whole seems that Charlie Benakis figured it out. Clearly it worked for him. Can we kind of modernize that and make it work for a lot more people, not just professional level musicians, you know, for the adult enthusiast and for kids, et cetera. Yeah.
So can you walk us through what it looks like, maybe from the teacher perspective and then also from the student perspective?
Yeah, I can't go into granular detail about it, but the idea is that a teacher will make these. It's all custom made. So you do have a real instructor and it's your instructor. And that's the key component here. Like there's all this tech that makes it really optimized for an instructor to be able to knock out a lot of work quickly, efficiently. But the heart of it is like this is about the relationship between the teacher or the instructor and the student. And that's what we do not want to lose that. And that's the core of this thing. But the instructor, you know, we help the instructors to make curriculums. You know, we've been training all this AI and what have you, based on like our own knowledge and, you know, putting together just kind of best practices. So teachers create curriculums for students and they can kind of do whatever they want, right? The curriculums are flexible because you actually have a real person who is monitoring how things are going. It's not a, you know, 12-week boot camp and learn your, you know, learn how to solo in 12 weeks with these 12 pre-recorded videos. It's a framework that starts like that of like, okay, this is what I think we should do. And then the instructor can adjust that to see fit. And the student can be working on, we call the larger learning modules and then broken down into topics. So a student and the teacher come up with a goal, and the goal might just be, let's learn a song. I want to learn how to play Autumn Leaves. That becomes a module. The teacher instructor comes up with topics appropriate for the student, makes these videos for them, and they're really short, like 2-3 minute videos, so that it's not overwhelming for the student. And from there, we extract specific practice assignments from the teacher's audio. And that's where the AI comes in kind of handy. So every time that the student logs on, they are given something new to focus on, even though it's within one specific subject. So it might just be today's topic is, you know, the first 8 measures of Autumn Leaves. And then every time a student goes in, it'll be, we're going to focus on the bass line today. Or let's focus on the phrasing of the melody today. The next thing might be like, you know, let's put the metronome on a, you know, triplet subdivision sort of thing, and let's work on that. So different ways to approach the same subject so it never gets boring and everything that you're doing is actually valuable to complete your topic. And that's where, you know, you get one video from an instructor, we kind of juice that for all it's worth. We get as much out of one short video that we can. So it's not just, you know, okay, go ahead and do this thing. It's like, you're going to do this thing, and this thing, and then send us a video so we can see what it's like. So there's a constant accountability and there's a constant checking in. There's a constant, like, I mean, just from a, like, it's sort of like a personal trainer app. So we ask for videos. You know, student must submit a video once they've completed a topic, but they're welcome to chat and send things back and forth. You know, am I doing this right? There's a phrase I like to use with my kids. I say, especially on piano, that practice makes permanent. And muscle memory is such a big deal. So this is a really valuable way to check in regularly on what's going on, while at the same time giving the student enough space to digest things. So just pedagogically, I find that really interesting. As, you know, a one-on-one lesson, you're making corrections. I sometimes find in a rushed way. It's kind of like, no, do it like this, do it like this, do it like, okay, great. And then, you know, the student does, you're like, yeah, that's it, great, great. Without time for that to marinate and digest and make it really make sense. So it's kind of nice that we can give an instruction, the student can sit with it for a few minutes the day, and then the next day, be like, okay, is this, am I doing better? Like, you know, I have a personal trainer fitness thing, and it's like, you know, working on getting ready for my wedding coming up. And it's like, you know, okay, did I do this squat better this time? But no. Try this. Okay, next day. Oh, yes, that's closer. Now try this. So these micro adjustments that I can make on a daily basis, that's what we're doing for our students with music.
Gotcha. Congratulations on the wedding coming
up. Thank you.
Top Music Pro enables you to be a pro in your own studio because you don't have to reinvent the wheel and you don't have to make up all the answers yourself. You have support.
I think of Top Music as the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow. This site is the whole pot of gold, and there's gold pieces in there that I didn't even know existed.
I am actually teaching a full studio. They're coming online from miles away, so I am certainly thriving.
So what Tim has done is build a global community of piano teachers who are interested, who are engaged. And when you become part of this community, you feel empowered.
My life is different now because I'm not just in an isolated little studio. I have learned that there are other people out there going through very similar learning curves and sharing these ideas.
I've really gained a lot of skill sets where my teaching is far more creative, far more innovative. I have resources so that I can add to it things that I didn't know.
My life and my business are different now because I have the three things that I really wanted: less stress, more money, and more time.
It's going to be fun. Like, I got excited about being a piano teacher. It's revolutionized everything that I do.
I think I've become a more thoughtful teacher, a more organized teacher. The quality of my teaching has deepened.
I feel like I can do this. I feel a sense of hope. I love the creativity it fosters and the openness to thinking outside the box, and it's energizing.
Joining Top Music really solidified that. Like, no, this is your career. And you can make a career out of this. That has really helped me be proud of what I do.
It's made such a tremendous impact on the way I think about teaching. It keeps your mind open when you have so many ideas.
My best win from being on Top Music Pro is just having a lot more peace of mind as a teacher. and as a business owner, it just gives me that less amount of hours that I have to do with research and everything.
It's a really good place to spend a few pounds, a few bucks a month. What you get from it far outweighs what you have to pay into it.
My biggest win with Top Music Pro was increased student retention and increased income. I have a lot more confidence in how I'm teaching, and I have the resources that I need when I do have questions.
I probably went from about 35 students to maybe like 65. I ended up doing 3 classes and I had a waiting list.
If I hadn't signed up with Top Music Pro, I probably wouldn't have realized that teaching piano is a real job and you can build your whole career around it.
So I'm curious, from the teacher's perspective, how have teachers responded to you? Is it an app?
It's a web-based app right now. It will be a native app eventually, but yeah.
Yeah, I just want to use the right language. So I'm curious how teachers have responded. Do they ever feel like they're always on call, kind of, rather than what they're used to, where it's like the student comes for 30 minutes, they know it's going to be that 30 minutes, they have that 30 minutes set aside, and then the student leaves and does their thing and comes back at the same time the next week, versus this where it sounds like there could potentially be a lot of back and forth where the teacher is required to sort of be at their beck and call. I don't know. I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. I'm curious.
Our thing is we have a 1-day response. We say we're going to get back to you within a day. And what getting back can be, you know, it's not every question will necessarily be answered in a day, but we will respond to you within a day. And so we do have some things in place to really help teachers manage that. When we didn't have things in place, there were times that it was, you know, it's a lot of fun. Sometimes you get really into it and you get into a conversation and you know, we're musicians, we're passionate about music and we're texting. I had a student that I'm texting way too late back and forth with because we were discussing this really cool harmony thing. And like, oh, you got to listen to this recording, check this out, and sending recordings back and forth. That was, you know, kind of fun. And it's nice to be getting paid to do that as well, you know, which can, you know, but we also had, in the early days when we had sort of a beta platform with no safeguards in place, that was taken advantage of a few times. We had a tester who was uploading hour plus long videos of just practicing, sending, you know, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of messages a week to their instructor. That wasn't good.
Yeah. The instructor, that was a little overwhelming.
Yeah, it was a little too much.
Yes. So I would love to talk a little about the process of going from idea to creation, because I think so many teachers have ideas, but then get stuck somewhere along the process. Do you have any advice about taking an idea? Maybe first of all, how did you know that this idea was going to work? I mean, you shared a little bit of where you came up with the idea, but how did you know it was going to work? And then how did you take it from idea to, hey, we have something that is a viable product?
You could call it grit or just being incredibly stubborn. On one hand, I joke, but that is a huge component of it. And I mean, to say that it worked, like, yes, we proved that this method worked. Like, you can successfully teach this way. I mean, you can really teach well this way. I mean, like, it's not a lesser option, actually. And I think that it's really a viable replacement for, you know, one-on-one lessons a lot of times. But also, you know, the big question was, can we actually create, like, relationships this way? Is it going to feel personal? And absolutely, yeah, we absolutely proved that. Through we had one little girl who was testing it out. She's a little girl in Spain who, you know, kept modern making, seeing how everything's going, right? And she's learning ukulele and with our teacher Joanne in Ecuador. And you would see the progression of the video. She was doing her exercise on a regular basis, daily, kind of like, okay, come home, here's my new assignment. I'm going to do it, uploading these videos. And the video started to get longer as time went on. And it would start to be, you know, okay, here's the chord, here's the exercise. And the whole run up to that would be like, hi, Joanne. So in school today, this happened, blah, 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 this happened, these things happened. Oh, and there's this boy. And like, and then he fell down and like, you know, okay, well, here's my chord. Okay, bye, Joanne. I'll see you tomorrow. And that's like, okay, we've got something. That's what we want. That's the magic. It's like that relationship. So, I mean, in that regards, it works. you know, and but we're still working on like product market fit, and we're still like, you know, it's a long ways to go to say that it, you know, is really working. But to get to this point, it really was a lot of time learning a lot of things that I never imagined I would be learning. It has taken me away from my own practicing quite a bit. It made me more efficient with my practice, though, that I'll say. And like networking, learning as much as I can, reading everything I can about all these different things. And you just keep trying. And I got fortunate to have had, in a kind of early beta version of this, a professional drummer here in New York signed up to take piano lessons with me, referred by a really legendary drummer on like the beta version of this platform. And it just so happened that this guy is a full stack developer at an ed tech company for his day job. And so he got onto this test thing, and within like 10 minutes we were on the phone, and he's like, yeah, I want to build this with you. And so we got together and took what we had learned from like just testing out the, you know, basically just sending like WhatsApp messages back and forth. It's like, no, we need to make this a real thing. And this guy is so good. And he's such a good balance for me, because he's like, we work well on different things together, right? He keeps me like, he's like, no, put it into a ticket, organize your stuff.
We have the creative brains, don't we?
Exactly. And he, you know, and then he'll be like, well, the pitch is like, no, you can't pitch this thing, get out of here. No, so it's a good partnership. But I mean, it was funny because that came up and I was like kind of feeling stuck about what do I need to do. And a friend of mine who does a lot of startup stuff and work in finance is like, you need to find a partner who is in music and knows a technical partner who is in music and knows this world. And I was like, how am I going to do, like, okay. And then this guy shows up, and then it turns out actually he's part of a whole contingent of dozens of jazz musicians who are developers. So it's like, oh, actually there are a lot of them out there. And then from there it was, you know, showing him that the idea was worth him working on too. And then coming up with the partnership and coming up with our agreement, and then just hustling. We had a great group of students to test things with Will You Learn, to find out what works, what doesn't work, you know, where to put that button, where to do this, that, and the other. Constantly iterating, but just hustling and trying to learn everything I could about like how to start a business. And it started Will You Learn, which is a great and very successful, like, you know, small local boutique business going on 11 years. Great. But this is a totally different animal. It's like, you know, we're trying to fundraise, and we have, you know, it's a partnership LLC, which what is that? And we're going to become an S corp if we do that. And like all these things that never thought I'd be looking at, and, you know, cap tables and like, what is that? Like, you know, just diving into learning, at least being, you know, okay, I kind of know what that is. I know what a safe is. I know, okay, I can talk to an investor and not sound like a total moron. You know, okay, I can design a pitch deck and it, you know, it looks okay, and this, that, and the other. And a lot of the things I learned in music, just about being very persistent and also developing a rather thick skin, have translated very well to having conversations with people with money and financiers and this, that, and the other, because some are very amicable and others are not.
I believe it.
So that's the a lot of work and a lot of thinking and a lot of moving things around and knowing when to pivot on certain aspects and, you know, when to be flexible. And the most important thing is just talking to people who use it and getting feedback. Like, it's something that honestly, with like Will You Learn, we never really did. People seem to like it. We get a lot of students. Everybody's happy. And I was like, okay, we don't need to go out and, you know, what could we do better? And in this case, that's the number that's like it. You have to be talking with people all the time to make it better and find out like what the need is. Yeah.
So tell us where you're at right now with the production and marketing and all of that. Are you still testing, or is this ready to go? How is it all going?
It's, I mean, there's constant testing and constant iteration. We're just coming up on wrapping up a major UI overhaul, which is, I think, looks gorgeous and functions really well. So everything's out and it's launched and it's there and it's available. But the new UI is really nice. And that should be out sometime next week, which will address some of the issues that we found about, like, you know, just where do you put that button sort of thing. And then our path forward, you know, we have a good handful of, influencery musician educators who are really excited about it. And we're partnering with them to get on board and just get the word out more. And we're doing a lot of local marketing and targeting things and, like, a whole, you know, testing the marketing too, because things just you have to find out what works and find out what doesn't work. And we don't have money. So we need to be very careful about where we spend our money and try to come up with ways that we don't need to spend money to do things. And I find that the more that you explore those options, the more they start happening and you get more and more opportunities to kind of pitch the product in, you know, to more people, the more you find out, like, what works. We were talking about this, about, like, it's an important thing. Cause I did this with Will You Learn. Like, when I first moved to New York, like, I want some music students. I'm going to go put up flyers. Like, Dan Smith will teach you guitar. That's genius. That's, like, the most genius marketing thing ever. He just got a flyer in every bodega, everything. I mean, the guy's great, but talk about persistence. Like, and I go around and I still see, like, flyers on the poles, which is illegal in New York, but, you know, flyers, take my number and, like, you know, for piano lessons and this, that, and the other. I'm Juilliard trained, and take my number off of a flyer. And I talk with a lot of people who do those kinds of things and get really bummed out when they don't work. And it's like, it takes a lot more than just doing that. And it takes a lot of things, more things will not work than actually work. And I think that's been helpful for Will You Learn. So the things that I've learned running MeTempo have made Will You Learn definitely better.
So tell us how this applies to our listeners. Are you currently looking for teachers? Are you looking for students? How can our listeners, I guess, get involved in the process if they're interested?
Well, I think the really interesting use case for people who are doing, like, you know, like I do also, the weekly music lesson thing, that this is a really valuable, it's like, you have your weekly lesson and this is your daily coach. So one thing that I do want to make a distinguishment, like, this is not a marketplace, really, and it's not just anybody can come on and teach. We are really adamant about having an incredibly high caliber of teacher with, you know, like, big time, you know, played big gigs and, you know, have done, like, really proven themselves, this, that, and the other. They need to be phenomenal educators. Like, again, this is about the people who are on this thing, and the tech is, like, just makes it a little bit better, but, like, having phenomenal instructors is the number one thing. So it's not a marketplace, but I know you have a lot of phenomenal music teachers who are listening to your show. This is a really great way to just kind of supercharge lessons in between the week. I mean, it's the age old thing. It's like practice and this, that, and the other. I mean, it's a way to monitor and assign things on a daily basis. It's a way to have touch points daily with students, you know. That can sound overwhelming. We help it make be not overwhelming, but just, you know, knowing what the student's doing, being able to check in and just help them practice and guide them with what to do. I mean, I know one of my biggest issues as a kid and even through grad school is being overwhelmed with what to do and what to practice. And some occasionally it wasn't even like, I know what I'm supposed to practice. I know what I'm supposed to have done for next week. But, like, it's overwhelming to me to get there sometimes. And this gets rid of that. There's no question about what you're supposed to be working on. Everything's manageable. We break it down into, you know, the smallest components. And so you can really make noticeable progress. And the nice thing about sending these little videos back and forth, it's like, you know, it's like you say, you don't see yourself grow. But when you go back and see where you were at the beginning of a, you know, regular video progress, you go, oh my gosh, I really got better. It's really, really, really motivating for students. So I think it's a really good way. And I use it with my students as a way to, like, communicate during the week. One, also, so I'm not giving my time away for free. Like, that's another issue of, like, a lot of parents sometimes are texting teachers a lot and blah, 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 blah. And we did want to make sure, like, the teacher should be compensated for giving their time. So that does take care of that. But it's really effective because then, you know, if a student's like, I'm really struggling with this, we can break it down and help them on a regular basis. Or if it's someone's like, hey, I got this. This is great. And then it's not, okay, well, we'll do something new next Tuesday. It's like, all right, let's get on to the next thing. And it makes the in-person lessons, the one-on-ones, much more useful. Like, it's, you see what they did, you can address the questions, and if they're progressing, you know exactly what to be doing next and to help them get better. And it just, and I think it creates a really strong bond, an even stronger bond between teachers and students, because it's, you know, it's constant. It's ongoing.
Yeah, it sounds like a really, really great concept. And congratulations on getting it to this point. Can you tell us where listeners can find out more and perhaps get in touch with you or learn more about this program?
The website is Metempo, metempo.com. And there's a contact form in there, but you're welcome to email info@metempo or will@metempo. And yeah, for any teachers who are interested in giving it a go with their studios, we can have a conversation about that. And any teachers who'd be interested also on becoming an instructor on it, where we would match you with the people who come on also, that's happy to discuss that as well.
All right, great. Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us today, Will, and giving your time to be here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, leave it to the jazz musicians to upend everything, right? I think this concept is really fascinating. Will and I talked a bit more after we finished recording, and he said that this model is working really well for professional adults who are coming back to music after not playing for a while. I can see where it would be a great option for adult learners in particular. I would love to hear your thoughts on this episode and what Will is doing. You can find me on Instagram @RachelErring. Make sure you also check out what Tim Topham is doing over on the Topcast. He recently introduced some fresh new music from Alfred Music by composers Elizabeth Swift, Connor Chee, and Angela Marshall. So be sure to check that out. That's the end of the show for this week. I'm Rachel Erring, and you've been listening to the Top Music Piano Podcast. I'll talk with you soon.
How do you keep up to date with all the latest trends and research into music education? How do you connect with other teachers around the world and make sure your teaching stays fresh and relevant for students of all ages and stages, both now and into the future? I created our Top Music Pro membership to be the one-stop shop for music teaching resources, training, support, and community, and I'd love for you to come and join us inside. With over 40 comprehensive training courses, hundreds of teaching demonstrations and lesson plans, free monthly sheet music, discounts, and all the business and pedagogy support you could ever need, Top Music Pro is the community you've been looking for. If you're ready to level up your learning from the podcast and join thousands of other teachers in our global network, head over to topmusicpro.com today.